Today's devotion is titled Daniel, a man full of resolve. For those of us who have attended Sunday school in our childhood, we will associate Daniel with the den of lions. I am reminded of the song we sang. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily he prayed 3 times, even when they cast him down in a den of lions. Even then in the den, fear could not alarm him. God just shut the lion's mouth so they could not harm him. The story of Daniel took place in the 6th century BC. Yet the circumstances that Daniel found himself in are so very similar to the environment we're living in today. Therefore, we as Christians should understand and take to heart the principles that Daniel and his friends adhered to in order to survive in such a hostile environment. Before we begin to take a closer look at Daniel's life, let me explain the environment he was living in. In 2 Chronicles 36:15 to 23, we read that during this period, the nation of Israel found themselves exiled and living in Babylon under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar. This was because of a number of years Israel had been blatantly forsaking their God, following other gods and idols. As a punishment, and to bring them back to himself, God allowed the Babylonians to besiege Jerusalem, taking most of the Israelite population back to their own country. The book of Daniel opens when Israel is just 3 years into their captivity, a captivity which was to last for 70 years. We have to ask ourselves, how were they going to cope with living in a foreign land which was so different from their own culture, a nation who's worshipping foreign gods? Among the Israelites, there were a number of those living in Babylon who stayed faithful to their God, including Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were known more as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Up to this time, when the Israelites were taken into Babylon, God sent the prophet Jeremiah to warn the Israelites to turn from their ways, but Israel did not turn back. We then read what God specifically says to the Israelites once they found themselves in bondage in Babylon. Here was their chance again to listen again to what God had to say to them and support them through their captivity. In the prophecy of Jeremiah 29 verses 4 to 13 we read, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for yourselves and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord." This is what the Lord says. "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. We notice that both the obedient and disobedient Israelites found themselves living with the Babylonian people. Through the prophet Jeremiah, they had the opportunity to hear God speaking to them. God assured them that although they were in a foreign land, they should acclimatize to their situation and settle into the land, which was all about listening and with the right attitude, but above all, seek to honor and obey the Lord in the days that we live in. As a result of changes over the past 70 years, as well as government weakening the God-given laws of the land, increased immigration, we find ourselves in a very rebellious, hostile environment. Long gone is the pleasant way of life I knew as a child. England was a God-conscious country with laws based on the Bible. Today, we have the influence of the many religions that govern many parts of the world. Hostility and persecution towards Christians is growing. Through carefully reading God's Word, the Bible, we will discover that the days we are now living in are the final days of this world's order. Reading the Bible carefully, it teaches us that what is happening today will take place in the last days. Although it is an hostile environment, this brings us encouragement because the trials of life we are facing as a Christian today will not always be as it is now, because we have a hope. The Israelites were released from bondage after 70 years. We know that Jesus is coming back soon to take us home, taking us out of this evil world into a world of peace and joy for eternity. For us as God's children, our circumstances are like the Israelites were experiencing while living in Babylon. We should heed the words of Jeremiah with gratitude. We should continue our lives with contentment, without criticism, being thankful, faithfully serving our God, to be a witness to our neighbours, knowing like the Israelites that God is soon going to intercede and undertake for us and release us from this life in his appointed time. Let us now read the opening verses of Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put it in the treasure house of his God. I find this very disturbing to read how Babylonians, as well as taking captive the people, they stole the special treasures from the temple. Satan will entice evil men to do the same. In our circumstances, they will not only destroy the freedom we have, but allow property to be sold, like many churches, coming into the hands of other religions. We need to prepare ourselves for increasing hostility and deterioration of God's righteous laws in our country. Are we prepared to live like Daniel and his friends did, who leant heavy on God and trusted him to undertake and guide them in the persecution and hostility and hostile environment they were soon to experience? I was brought up on our family farm. My father was a very godly man and sought to witness to the folk around. The farm felt sacred. We could walk the land knowing we were free to go where we wished. God protected the farm. Soon after my father died, the farm was sold into the hands of folk who were very distant. The farm has lost that sacredness it once had. No longer am I able to put a foot on the land. It is not ours anymore. A sad situation. Furthermore, God has given me many dreams of how the land can be used to sustain the people with water and reservoirs. There would be evangelical camps on the land with folk flocking to the big Christian youth centre that once was central to the land. I am trusting God that this will happen one day very soon. We continue to read in Daniel 1, 3-5. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names, to Daniel the name Belshazzar, and Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. As we read further into the book of Daniel, we see how Daniel and his three friends stayed loyal to their God. It is therefore easy to understand why God gave each of these young men favour, for in Daniel 1:8 we read, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way." Now God had caused the officials to show favour and compassion to Daniel. When Daniel requested the food of the palace, we read in the rest of the chapter in Daniel 1:10-21, "But the officials told Daniel, 'I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you.' Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, 'Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see.' So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To those four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they enter the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters of his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. As I look into the Bible, I see other members of God's people, the Jews, who had honesty and integrity, like Joseph and Esther. God spoke to Joseph through dreams. He was promoted by becoming the president of Egypt, having saved Egypt from 7 years of drought. Esther, a member of the Israelites, while living in Babylon, was guided by her uncle Mordecai, knowing her people's lives were at stake, risks her life, going to her husband King Ahasuerus and highlighting that Haman was wanting to exterminate the Israelites. But through her trust in God, the Israelites were rescued. Finally, in Esther 10:2-3, we read, all the acts of Mordecai's power and valor, as well as a detailed account of the greatness of Mordecai, whom the king promoted, are recorded in the chronicles of the kings of the Medes and Persians. The Jew Mordecai was next in rank to King Ahasuerus, in high standing among the Jews, popular with many of his kindred, seeking the good of his people and speaking on behalf of the welfare of all its descendants. We see Daniel and his friends looked more healthy than the other officials. Back in my childhood, my father's family were farmers and lived off the land. They had little or no health problems. Today, in this fast food society with many additives, it is bringing an increase in health problems. We need to heed what Daniel and his friends ate to ensure we are able to have healthy bodies and be fit to do the work God has assigned us to. We also notice how God gave Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego exceeding wisdom and understanding. God has foreordained to each one of us gifts. He will give us wisdom and understanding through those gifts as we face the many challenges and testings of life today. Notice what we read in Daniel 1:21. Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel was to discover that in 3 years' time, when Cyrus began to reign, great changes would take place. Freedom would ensue. Let us now continue to read what transpired in Daniel 2. Here we read how King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, which none of his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers could interpret. The king was so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. But then we read in Daniel 2:14-21. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went in to the king and asked for time, so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friend Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." God had revealed to Daniel the dream and its meaning, so that Daniel was able to tell the king what the dream was about. Daniel explained the dream to Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 2:29-35. "As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than any else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron and clay, the bronze, the silver and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. I am so grateful and privileged that God speaks to me in dreams and also able to interpret dreams. During our mission work in Romania, we have met with grave situations where we do not know which way to turn, but God has revealed the way forward. A verse that is very precious to Chris and myself is found in Amos 3:7. Surely, the Sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servant the prophets. Many times God has revealed what he is going to do and proved his faithfulness when uncertain situations arose. Down through the centuries, God has continued to reveal himself through dreams and visions. Just after the disciples experienced the power of the Holy Spirit coming on them, the Apostle Peter said, when addressing the crowd in Acts 2:17-21, which is a prophecy given by the prophet Joel many years previous, Peter says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billions of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Dreams and visions are prominent in the book of Daniel, and we will see how dreams and visions played a vital part in how God at times reveals himself to us, speaks to us, and directs us. Back in 1973, David Wilkerson, an evangelist in the USA, gave a very strong prophecy, which at the time seemed irrelevant and not likely to happen. In that prophecy, he described how there would be a worldwide financial economic crash, abominable perversion, morality would fall, natural disasters, rebellious children, hatred and persecution of true Christian believers. Little of his prophecy seemed relevant or possible, yet today on the streets of Britain we are witnessing what David Wilkerson prophesied. David continues, "I saw nature having labour pains, supernatural signs and changes that cannot be explained by men, worldwide disasters that we're witnessing right now, I see as labour pains in nature, which are going to become more and more frequent and more intense the closer we get to the birth of the kingdom of God. I saw major earthquakes come into the United States. I saw a worldwide famine, especially in China, India, Russia. I saw the world's food supplies completely dwindled, millions starving. I saw coming a new kind of cosmic storm, appearing as a raging fire in the sky, leaving a kind of vapor trail. Tornadoes, hailstones, floods and hurricanes are going to pound the earth with such intensity and violence that all of mankind is going to have to admit the world is under supernatural siege. We also need to heed the prophecies that have already been prophesied by Jesus in Matthew 24:7-8. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. We need to acknowledge these are happening. We need to prepare ourselves. We need to look to Jesus and invite him into our life, giving us protection, security, and a hope. Let us return to the dream that Nebuchadnezzar sought interpreting. We read in Daniel 2:24-27, then Daniel went to Arioch, who the king had appointed to execute the wise men in Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. Daniel was able to tell Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was. He was then able to interpret the dream to Nebuchadnezzar, which described the different kingdoms which will reign on earth, but eventually how God's kingdom will reign supreme on earth. We continue to read in Daniel 2:36-49. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you say that the feet and toes were partially of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet, it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron, partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with the baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. The rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver and the gold to pieces, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honour and ordered that an offering of incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods, Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all the wise men. Moreover, At Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. In this dream, God does not just prophesy of what will happen during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar and immediately after, but God gives us a glimpse of what will happen, what will soon happen here on earth. Notice, Daniel explained very clearly in Daniel 2, 44 and 45, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up the kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will be crushed. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the version of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. Through this prophetic dream, we see in a time to come that there will be two types of kingdoms on earth, one made of iron, the other of clay, which do not mix. Today, we see how the Christian church is seeking ways to unite with other religions, which are dead religions, trying to bring a false sense of unity, which will not work. We see evil religions seeking to join with God's righteous people. It will fail. Many times in the Old Testament, God allowed the Israelites to fall into the hands of the other nation because they were running after other gods. How true the words of the apostle in 2 Corinthians 6:14 to 15, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So what do righteousness and wickedness here have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, that is Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Let us have the uncompromising strength to stand up and oppose these. With the many religions that have been allowed into our country and the declining people following the true God, we must be on our guard, as God will again bring trials on his people when they turn their back on him. Take note, as we're witnessing in today, in our day, often it comes through drought and floods. To round up this part of the book of Daniel, we recognize we are in a hostile world, just like Daniel and his friends. In spite of the environment we are in, we should stay true to our God. We should not compromise by trying to unite, to pacify, to please other religions, especially with the religions that follow false gods, which are seeking to infest our country today. In spite of the circumstances and environment we are living in today, we can be assured God can, through reading our Bible and through circumstances, he in a unique way will reveal to us his plans, especially through dreams, and show us the evils that are all around us. He will give us as how we are to conduct ourselves as God's children in a right way and protect us through trials we may encounter. Jesus told the disciples of what they will endure in the end times, but how he will give them wisdom and understanding. Jesus said in Luke 21:14-15, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. I am reminded of the psalm which portrays how some of the Israelites were feeling while living in Babylon. We read in Psalm 137, 1-3, by the river of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hang our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. These Israelites had not heeded Jeremiah. They had not accepted the situation. They had not settled down in the land of Babylon. They were missing their beautiful land, the city of Zion, but Even more vital, they were unaware that they were missing the one who has put them there. They simply needed to turn their hearts back to Him, their Lord and Master, the one who can give joy and contentment. David knew that contentment when he said in Psalm 23, verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows." When we truly know the Lord living in our hearts, when we are faithfully living out the purposes He has given us, there will be a contentment in our heart and spirit. Whatever criticism we may receive, we will have that confidence in knowing that we are pleasing our Lord, and that's all that matters. We will have a joy in our heart, as Jesus said in Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things out of the good stores stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. When Christians begin to praise and worship God, they are wholeheartedly showing their joy of the Lord and displaying all He means to them. The psalmist reminds and exhorts us in Psalm 32:11, "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." Remember, the Lord is at your side at all times, as the songwriter says, who we will now listen to. "Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm lorn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home."
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on. I am tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Precious Lord, lead me on. Precious Lord, when my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call. Oh, my hand, lest I fall. Precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak.
lead me on and stand. I am tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, precious love, lead me home.
In my way, snow grows gray.
Precious love, lingering here.
When my life is almost gone.
Precious love, lead me home.
When the darkness appears
and the night draws near
and the day is past
and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Precious Lord, take my hand,
lead me on, let me stand.
I'm tired, I'm